This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Bill Raggio is here, my colleague and co-host of Foundation for Defense of Democracy. And we're very pleased to welcome Edmund Fitton Brown of the FDD to help us on the big picture. Edmund spent many years as a British diplomat moving around the world, and he has many things to say of diplomacy and its limits. We're going to start to begin diplomacy with the Board of Peace. This is a 10-point plan delivered by Mr. Walz, the United Nations ambassador from the United States, said to be the Trump administration and Mr. Trump's 10-point plan. Take it or leave it. That's a negotiating position. It works in Manhattan. I doubt if it'll work at the UN. But in any event, it includes a Board of Peace, which is described as a technical, apolitical organization made up of moving parts to supervise, to manage the rebuilding and the reawakening of Gaza. Implicit there is money, which would come in the form of perhaps the World Bank or the IMF. Implicit also is security, but it's not in any way spelled out. Let's begin with the Board of Peace. Edmund, when you first read this, did it sound practical-minded? Did it sound utopian? Did it sound as if it was half-hearted? How did you hear it at first? Good evening to you, Edmund.
Good evening, John. It's great to be back with you. I think there's a little bit of all of those reactions in there, but then I guess we should bear in mind that we're in uncharted territory, aren't we? We've all been banging our heads against the Middle East peace process for decades, and suddenly you have this impetus coming from Washington that says we have to solve this. We can't allow what happened on the 7th of October, 2023, ever to happen again. And therefore, we're going to have to force the issue. And as you force the issue, of course, you introduce elements which are going to be difficult. Some of them may even prove to be impractical. But what the United States did with the Trump plan, and in particular with the Board of Peace proposal, it drew on consultations that had been going on for some time amongst people concerned to solve the Middle East peace conundrum. And primarily, amongst those, I would say probably the most active over the longest period has been Tony Blair, the former British Prime Minister. And clearly his ideas, which had been worked up over a prolonged period, had caught President Trump's attention. Obviously, the US had its own ideas, which were being generated by Steve Witkoff, by Jared Kushner, by others. There were also discussions going on between the French and the Saudis and, you know, a whole range of other concerned parties. And so this all then took shape in the 20-point plan. And the Board of Peace specifically is the part of the plan that envisages a sort of an international supervisory body that would keep the peace plan on track and would be liaising with the regional stakeholders, especially the Egyptians, the Israelis, the Jordanians. It would be working with the International Stabilization Force, which has not yet taken shape, but which would be providing some form of enforcement on the ground inside Gaza. It would also be liaising with the transitional authority, or the emerging transitional Palestinian authority, because you're going to have Palestinian police trained up by the Jordanians and the Egyptians, and they're going to need political guidance. And you're going to have Palestinian stakeholders who are not Hamas, initially perhaps not Palestinian Authority either. And those people are going to need the sort of strategic depth and the international support that the Board of Peace can provide.
Bill, you have a question.
Good evening, Edmund. Do you think it's possible that if this plan is implemented, if it's able to get off the ground, that it becomes another UN-induced problem like we witness in South Lebanon with the UNIFIL, the force that really just sits on its hands and watches as Hezbollah rearms?
I mean, Bill, it's a very fair challenge. And one of the bad signs is that the various countries that are advocating for the Trump plan, because, of course, the president has been able to bring a lot of people on board who have quite contrasting underlying intentions, but they want to work with President Trump, and they certainly don't want to be the ones who actually wreck the plan. So you've got a very unwieldy coalition, and it's really interesting how they differ in terms of what the role of the International Stabilization Force will be. And as you say, what we don't need is another UNIFIL. That is quite clear. UNIFIL was an abject failure in Lebanon. And frankly, when it finally winds up and goes home sometime around the end of next year or the following year, it won't be a moment too soon. I think we've all seen how that kind of that's a real road to hell paved with good intentions, isn't it? You put these worthy blue helmets there, you think it's going to help, but actually they end up like a tethered goat, and they end up almost colluding with the terrorists as the terrorists rebuild their threat. That must not happen in Gaza. And it is interesting that the Israelis are stating very definitely that this cannot be just one of these sort of UN monitoring forces. This is going to have to be a stabilization force with real teeth that actually fights antisocial or subversive elements on the ground if it's challenged.
Let's go to Lebanon, Edmund. We have reports of IDF strikes against weapons caches and weapons depots in Bakaa. At the same time, we have reports that Hezbollah is rearming. Neither of these are confirmed as effective rearming or effective strikes, but in any event, it's a break in the pattern where the Israelis have set up, I believe, 5 watchtowers, I'm using metaphors here, for Lebanon, and Hezbollah seemed disconsolate and disorganized. Has Hezbollah suddenly found a new source of energy? Are these new people providing the threat to Israel, and can they be handled with airstrikes, or does Israel need more?
Well, I don't think that this is a sort of sudden revival of Hezbollah. I think this is a case of, you know, a boxer sort of stumbling back up off the canvas. And, you know, if the referee doesn't call the fight and the winning boxer is not allowed to deliver a knockout punch, then, you know, you may find that you've got unfinished business on your hands. And I think there's definitely unfinished business in Lebanon. You know, the Israelis are occupying hilltops, which are important for them in monitoring terms. You know, UNIFIL, we talked about, so it's a good segue. They're still present in Lebanon. I don't think they're doing any good, although they're under much more skeptical monitoring themselves by the United States. France also, in theory, has a role, but I don't think that France is a particularly useful player in this because of its colonial history and because of Macron's general weakness on Israel-related issues. I think what we really have is a ceasefire which Hezbollah intends to break. It's being monitored by the United States and Israel, and Israel is hitting any manifestation of Hezbollah breaches of the ceasefire. And the United States is happy to endorse that, rightly so, because they can clearly see that the spirit of the ceasefire between Israel and Lebanon, Israel and Hezbollah is supposed to involve Hezbollah being disarmed and there only being state assets of coercion in southern Lebanon. But the Lebanese state has not yet risen to that challenge and shows a reluctance to rise to that challenge. And Israel is saying, no, you have to rise to the challenge. And unless you do, then we'll do it for you.
We're speaking to Edmund Fitton Brown. A lifetime of diplomacy has left him with a big picture and focus pictures of the conflict zones in the Middle East. There's a conflict zone that right now looks to be quelled, but it can erupt at any moment. It's Syria in civil war. A significant news of Syria is that the man al-Shara, the self-named president of Syria, has made a visit to the White House within these last hours. And when we come back, is this positive? Is this negative? What does it mean that the President of the United States is hosting an Al-Qaeda veteran?
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.